You're listening to Marketplace Weekend. Every day, you and I interact with the world of tech.
Today, we're going to be showing our friends the basics of technology. This is Tech in Real Life.
Ben Johnson is the host of Marketplace Tech and our guide to tech in real life. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Lizzie.
We're wrapping you into this comeback theme today.
Yes.
Because I think a big question after this week's news, can Volkswagen figure out how to come back from this massive scandal? Lay out for me what they did.
Okay, so tech-wise, I can't answer you the comeback question, right? That's still, the jury's out on that.
Corporate strategists, take note.
But in terms of what the company did, so the company installed this so-called defeat device, which in this case is not a device as we think of devices. It's actually a piece of software or firmware, as it's called. The software would recognize when an emissions test might be happening to a vehicle and changed the vehicle's emissions output so as to make the car seem like it had better emissions. So essentially, when cars were on the road, they were performing better with worse emissions. But when they were being tested or when the computer in the car thought the car was being tested, the opposite was happening. Really, this is a reminder, Lizzie, that more and more our cars are really being driven by software.
Well, which is why we have you in to talk about it, because this is a development that's been going on for a while.
It has, Lizzie. Software has been introduced to vehicles in a lot of different ways, and it's been happening for a couple of decades. There can be up to 100 ECUs or electric control units in cars these days. Now, ECUs control all sorts of different things. This is public radio, so let's look at a Prius. Why not? Come on. All right, so brakes are entirely controlled by a computer process in these vehicles.
Really?
Cars can
even
have,
when I push down, that's starting a computer
process. Yes, essentially, it's no longer a mechanical process. It sends a command to a circuit board, which then sends a command to the brakes. Cars can have their headlights controlled by a computer. Even your gas pedal can be controlled by a computer. The computer in a car is made up of these sort of modular units, and you can add a bunch of stuff to this circuit board, basically. Climate control, fuel injection, ignition, wipers, airbags. These are all basically connected to a big computer that goes into your car.
This does sound a little terrifying. I mean, when you think about those stories of you can maybe hack a car's computer from afar, etc.
Yeah, so let's talk about hacking in a second, but let me tell you the good news first, Lizzie. In a lot of ways, this means cars can actually be fixed and improved more easily. This is partly why this has been happening. So, in the 50s, if you brought a car into the mechanic, you could bring a lot of problems with that car that the mechanic would look at and just say, sorry, car's broke, man, got to get a new one. Now, it's a little bit of a different story. Mechanics can modify the software. They can pull a component of a computer out and replace it. Of course, as you note, it's also more complicated in some ways. So just some numbers for you. The Apollo 11 spaceship had 150,000 lines of code involved in it. Android's operating system, 12 million. The modern car can have 100 million lines of code involved in it.
Wow.
And that can make for more vulnerabilities. So in an old car, if you noticed your engine was rattling, you knew it was a problem with your engine. A software glitch can be way more difficult to detect and identify. VW went about 4 years before being caught doing this thing with its software. If this was a mechanical problem, it probably wouldn't have taken so long. But the good news is, Lizzie, I think that this sort of software driving of our cars can be hopefully cheaper for everyone.
Except for, in this case, they've already set apart, what, more than $7 billion to deal with this? We don't know how much it's going to cost eventually?
That is true. And it's always worth pointing out, Lizzie, that car software, like any software, can be used for good or evil, right? We've seen, for instance, a rise in hacking as more and more cars have Wi-Fi or cellular connections. And car makers are in some ways pushing forward their technologies before they're really securing them. And that's a problem. There's a debate going on right now in the car maker world and in the sort of hacker world. It's similar to debates that have happened in the airline industry. Basically, the question is whether or not our systems in our vehicles should be online or offline. And that's a debate that's happening right now. There are a lot of pros to it. There are a lot of cons to it. It'll be really interesting to see how all of this stuff plays out in the next few years.
Ben Johnson, host of Marketplace Tech and our guide to tech in real life. Thank you.
Thank you, Lizzie.